This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is Rutherford Issues, hitting right at what matters most to all of us here in the heart of Tennessee. From Murfreesboro to Smyrna, Eagleville to Laverne, Leanna to Barfield, and everywhere in between. If it matters to you, you'll hear about it in the next hour here on Rutherford Issues.
Today's show, focused on North Rutherford County, is brought to you by Gill's Ace Hardware in Smyrna on Nissan Drive in Gillsville, 459-4457. Gill's Ace Hardware, the helpful place.
Well, good afternoon, fun lovers and truth seekers. I'm Brian Barrett. Good to have you along with us as we are on remote today from the YMCA, North Rutherford County Y, Ronald Reagan Family Center here in Smyrna, nestled between Smyrna and Laverne. Hope you're having a great one. 56 degrees and overcast skies here in Smyrna. Looks like maybe some showers possible today, and then a sunny day tomorrow and more rain Saturday. So we're kind of in that wet pattern. It almost feels spring-like. And with that being said, we're going to talk some spring-like things, some spring sports getting ready to get underway. And Michael Draper from the North Rutherford Y joins us. And, Michael, it seems like you roll right from one season to the other. Last time we talked, we were talking basketball. Is that still going on?
That is. We're actually pretty much right in the middle of our basketball season. We have I think it's a 10-week season, and we just finished week five. So we're right there in the middle. We do go right into soccer. Basketball season will end on March 24th. We start soccer practice March 26th. So it's the very next week we're picking up with soccer. But it's an exciting time. A lot of people are really involved in basketball right now. I'm trying to get them thinking a little bit about spring soccer while we're still in the middle of basketball season. But it seems like everybody's really excited about both seasons.
Well, since that's the next thing coming up and folks can be signing up right now, why don't you give us the details on what is coming up with soccer?
Absolutely. We've got two kind of, I guess you could say, areas of soccer that we're looking at here at the North Rutherford Y. First off, during spring break, which will be March the 19th for all the local area schools, we are having a spring break soccer clinic, and that will take place here at the YMCA. It's for kids ages 6 through 12. It's actually going to be conducted by Coach Jamie Shields from Laverne High School. Is going to come over and take part with the clinic along with the players there. It's going to be on Monday the 19th, Wednesday the 21st, and Thursday the 22nd from 9 to 11 a.m. Essentially, you can come in and register for one day or all three. The registration fees are $15 for early signups and $20 if you sign up the day of. And essentially, it's just going to be a time where you can come in and kind of hone in on some skills. I think it'd be a great way for kids that are going to play in our league to come in and get kind of used to the facilities, and also maybe even bring some of the people that they maybe end up being teammates with. It's kind of a great way to just kind of improve those skills before the season really kicked off, I guess you could say. And for more information, you can contact me here at the Y. We are only going to take 20 players for the clinic, mainly just so we can have a little bit more one-on-one as opposed to having just a whole slew of players out there.
Sure. Now, how many can sign up for soccer the season?
The season, we're not limiting that at all. I mean, I think I put on the website it's about 400, I think, is the maximum we're going to take. But I would love to have 400.
Sure.
That would be a great problem to have. But we have started sign-ups for the spring soccer season. They did start last week and will go through March the 23rd. That's the early sign-up period, the registration period. Registration fees for the soccer season are $60 for YMCA members and $85 for non-members. The late registration period will start on the 24th of March and go through April the 10th. There will be an additional $20 fee, just mainly trying to get jerseys shipped, expedited for those. But the registration fee covers the cost of jerseys as well as any kind of field cost that we may have to come up with, and also things for cost for trophies and all that. So
sure.
It is for ages 3 through 12, so it's a pretty wide gap there. We're hoping to have a 3-year-old league, just the 3-year-olds, and then a 4- and a 5-year-old league, 6 and 7, 8 and 9, and then 10 through 12.
Awesome. Where do you play the games?
Well, we have two different areas we play. The youngest kids, the 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds, will be playing here on the YMCA campus. We have a couple of fields across over by the pavilion where we'll set up goals, and they'll play there. The 6-through-12-year-olds will play over at Fergus Road Park, and we have a good relationship with the Laverne Parks and Recs, and they've allowed us to use that park in years past, and we're going to continue to do so. And so we will be playing there. At this time, we're not going to, I guess you could say, team up with the Murfreesboro Y and kind of cross leagues. That may be something we look into depending on registration numbers, but with basketball, we kind of wanted to keep things separate, and not so much that we don't want to associate with them. It's just we know it can be an inconvenience for people to have to travel back and forth on different weekends.
Sure. Well, I mean, my daughter did that last year, and right. She was signed up at the Y in Murfreesboro, since that's where we live, and we did come up, so I got to see the Fergus Road. I can tell you that I spent one of the coldest days that I can ever remember watching a soccer game
right.
last year out there. But sometimes weather in the spring, that kind of gets a little crazy, but I'm sure you all will do your best. I think the season wound up going a little longer because of all the rain last
sure.
spring.
Right,
but
yeah. Right now the season, we're expecting it to go through the end of May. That's kind of when we'll shut things down as we get ready for all the summer camps that go on here at the YMCA. But that's kind of right now is a start at the earliest. We'll be at the end of March where we'll start practice. Obviously, we're going to take off the weekend for the Easter holidays, and then we'll come back and just kind of pick up right there and go all the way through April and through May.
Talk to us a little bit about some other things. I know you have lots of sheets over
there. I do.
I
think I've become the unofficial spokesperson for the North Rutherford YMCA because I have a lot here. And I'll just try to hit on it really quickly. Another sports, I guess, thing you could say we have here at the Y is we're going to be offering sports camps throughout the summer. This will be a day camp, and we have 8 weeks throughout the camp, throughout the summer, in which we're going to offer a different sport camp each week. If you come in and register, you don't have to sign up for all eight. You can do one individually. We do have a skate park camp, basketball camp. We're going to try a bowling camp, which we're going to team up with one of the local bowling alleys. We're also going to have a flag football camp. We're going to be offering flag football in the fall, so that's for any flag football players that want to come in and get those skills, working on those skills before the season. We're also going to offer a golf camp, soccer camp, a fitness for fun or a wellness camp, and then the last camp of the summer is the one I'm probably looking forward to the most, is the kickball camp. That seems like a sport that everybody just focus on. I know I played a lot of kickball when I was younger, and I thought that would be a great way to kind of wrap up the summer. But you can register for those here at the Y as well, and we have registration forms here. And like I said, you don't have to register for the entire 8 weeks.
Rod,
you can register for
rod,
each individual
and he starts.
You must have spring fever a little bit.
A little bit.
You're talking about spring and summer and school's out.
And here we are sitting in February.
Yeah.
And I'm already talking about that. But that's something that, you know, we have to plan ahead for and be ready for, because it's going to be here before we know it.
Sure. Absolutely.
While we also have the sports camps going on, we also have day camps here at the YMCA, whether it be our outdoor day camps like our Wet n Wild, or we also have art camp or Camp Little Y. We have a lot of different options for anybody that's younger, any of the youth in the area that want to come in during the day. You know, if they're not going to be in school, we've got to do something with them. Well, let's send them to day camp at the YMCA.
Awesome.
Absolutely. Several of the other key things that I know some of our staff wanted me to hit on. First off, we are taking registration for personal training here at the YMCA. We offer 1 30-minute and 1 60-minute sessions. You can contact Dwight Bond here at the YMCA if you just come in, or you can talk to the people at the Welcome Center, and they'll be able to take care of you. But we are taking registration for personal training here at the Y. And lastly, the one thing I wanted to mention, not only am I over youth sports, but I'm also our volunteer coordinator here at the Y. And as you know, we have a lot of great staff here that do a lot of different things, but we also ask, you know, some of our members, if you're interested in kind of giving back, would you be interested in volunteering with a program? We have a lot of different programs I just spoke about, whether it be sports or youth involvement or our Restore Ministries programs. We have a lot of different things that you can volunteer for here at the YMCA. One thing that's coming up here soon, next weekend, the 25th of February, we're having our fourth annual indoor triathlon, and we're taking volunteers for that. Basically, you would come in as a volunteer. You can serve breakfast You can take registration forms, or you can keep times of our participants. And that's one thing we're definitely looking forward to. We're also still taking registrations for the indoor triathlon as well. So if you're interested in giving back to the community, or if you're already a member here at the Y and just want to get involved or in something other than just coming in and working out, volunteering is a great way to do that.
And it's just as easy as calling to kind of set up an appointment to talk about where the needs you have and
absolutely.
How they could fill them.
Yeah, absolutely. Essentially, when you come in, if you express interest in wanting to volunteer, we have a volunteer packet that our Welcome Center staff will give you. You can fill it out. As soon as you do that, it gets given to me, and I basically will just be giving those people a call, finding out where exactly you're interested in. And if you're just saying, hey, I just want to volunteer somewhere, we may say, okay, well, we've got needs in this area. Would you be interested there? You have to do a simple background check, and then boom, you're right at it and contributing here at the YMCA.
Tell us how we can get in touch with you or anyone else here at the Y.
Well, you can get in touch with me or any of our staff by calling. Our number here is 615-220-9622. You can get in touch with me directly by emailing me at mdraper@ymcamidtn.org.
By the way, I like the new signs and everything.
Yes. Yeah, we went through our branding. I guess it's been about 3 or 4 weeks ago. The YMCA across the country went through a complete rebranding. And it's really cool. I like the new logo, the new color schemes and everything. It took a little bit to get used to. And several of our members have, raised questions of, why is it just the Y logo now? We try to reiterate we're not taking the C out of it or anything like that. It's just when somebody says, hey, I'm going up to the Y, they usually say, hey, I'm going to the Y.
To the Y, yeah.
And so we just wanted to make sure that we were more up to date with how everybody was describing our center, I guess.
Michael, it's been a pleasure, and we'll see you here in a few weeks and hit on soccer. We'll be getting a lot closer to it by then.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Michael Draper joining us here from the North Rutherford YMCA here, the Ronald Reagan Family Center. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we've got the Huckabee Report coming up for you, and then we're going to be talking to Kathy Farrell and Tim Glover about the Mobile Health Unit and find out all the great details about that. You're listening to the North Rutherford County edition of Rutherford Issues presented by Gills Ace Hardware on Nissan Drive in Gillsville.
On March 23, 1999, WGNS was granted a license by the Federal Communication Commission to serve the public interest as a public trustee until August 1, 2012. Our license will expire on August 1, 2012. We must file an application for license renewal with the FCC on or before April 1, 2012. When filed, a copy of this application will be available for public inspection during our regular business hours. It contains information concerning this station's performance during the last 12 years. Individuals who wish to advise the FCC of facts relating to our renewal application and to whether this station has operated in the public interest should file comments and petitions with the FCC by July 1, 2012. Further information concerning the FCC's broadcast license renewal process is available at 306 South Church Street, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, 37130, or may be obtained from the FCC in Washington, D.C., 20554.
FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450. Now, the Huckabee Report. News and views from Mr. Conservative Mike Huckabee. Brought to you by
Mills Family Pharmacy at 2898 South Church Street.
This is the Huckabee Report for Thursday. I'm Mike Huckabee from North Little Rock, Arkansas.
This is Chad Mills with Mills Family Pharmacy.
And this is Rebecca Mills.
We're a family-owned and operated business, and when you come in my doors, we try to treat everybody with dignity and respect. We just try to treat everybody like their family.
We're talking with customers at Mills Family Pharmacy. We asked customer Chris Ashley why he shops at Mills.
Great customer service, and Chad and Rebecca go out of their way to take care of every need for my family.
Mills Family Pharmacy, helping your family stay healthy. Mills Family Pharmacy is on South Church across from Indian Hills.
Happy birthday to the last surviving member of one of America's all-time greatest vocal groups, the Andrews Sisters. Lead singer Patty Andrews, 94 years young today. Well, politics does make very strange bedfellows. Yesterday, Rick Santorum picked up a surprise celebrity endorsement. This star says everyone in the music industry keeps saying, Obama's doing such a great job, but not from what he sees, and he's hoping a Republican wins. He doesn't care for most of the GOP candidates, but he said the way Santorum left his campaign to be with his sick daughter convinced him that he has presidential qualities. Oh, and who is this unlikely Santorum fan? Well, it's Dave Mustaine, lead singer of the heavy metal band Megadeth. Now admit it, that would make for an unforgettable inaugural ball. Yesterday, Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad went on national TV to announce a big breakthrough in Iran's nuclear program. He was shown at a ceremony to open a new reactor that can enrich uranium to 20% for medical purposes. He claimed it was a part of a new generation of Iranian centrifuges that could rapidly enrich uranium. Iran is about to hold nuclear talks with the West, and the more they can rattle us, the more they figure they can get in return. But seeing Ahmadinejad in front of a nuclear reactor ought to give anyone with a brain the same feeling that Will Rogers described as the feeling you get when the baby gets hold of a hammer. Well, the military trained you to take orders without question, but senior military officials are balking at an order from President Obama to consider slashing America's nuclear arsenal to as low as 300 deployed warheads. They were asked to develop three possible force-level plans, one with around 1,000 deployed warheads, one with 700 to 800, and one with as few as 300. That would cut America's nuclear arsenal below the level of China's, far below Russia's. Pentagon officials call it radical and unprecedented. They say they have never before been asked to review America's defenses based on the number of warheads. An anonymous congressional official said that in the past, the commander-in-chief would ask the Pentagon to tell him what the world looked like and how big a force we need to deal with it. Starting with the size of the force is approaching the problems backwards. Still ahead, a whole new meaning to fire up the barbecue. You went to bed with your life savings in the bank, and you woke up broke. That's because an ID thief stole your identity, took over your bank accounts, and stole everything, including your retirement. And then it hit you. Why didn't your identity theft protection help stop this? Well, because you didn't have the most comprehensive ID theft protection service available, LifeLock Ultimate. They brought it to my listeners first. I got it, and you need it. LifeLock goes way beyond guarding your identity, your good name, and credit. Now, LifeLock is the only identity theft protection company that monitors bank accounts for takeover fraud. Look, LifeLock can't protect you or your bank accounts if you're not a member, so call now. Mention HUCK60. You'll get 60 risk-free days of LifeLock proactive identity theft protection, plus a free document shredder with your annual enrollment. Now, if you're not happy, you call LifeLock and cancel within 60 days of enrollment for a full refund. See LifeLock.com for details. Call 1-800-240-LOCK. That's 1-800-240-LOCK. 1-800-240-LOCK. Finally, good job to firefighters in Newcastle, Pennsylvania. They put out a grease fire that destroyed a retired butcher's homemade smokehouse, and they saved 200 pounds of Polish sausage. They described it as the best-smelling fire they've put out in years. So what do you bet they immediately went out to dinner to celebrate? And this is the Huckabee Report.
Catch Mike Huckabee's views on the day's news every morning and afternoon here on Rutherford County's Place to Talk, WGNS. The Huckabee Report is brought to you by
Mills Family Pharmacy at 2898 South Church Street. And we are back at the North Rutherford YMCA. Brian Barrett joined by Kathy Farrell and Tim Glover. And I need to mention that State Representative Mike Sparks, who normally joins me here today, could not be. His stepsister passed away, and he is actually at the funeral services today. So we want to remember him and his family as they're going through this time right now. And But I do have Kathy Farrell on, and Kathy has been on the radio numerous times. She's like a radio star, although it's been a while, Kathy.
I have missed you. It's been probably about a year, Brian. So.
I guess I didn't realize it'd been that long. But now tell me a little bit about you and how and what you're doing now. I know that I guess when we talked before, you were doing a lot with the United Way.
Absolutely. Was so fortunate. I guess it's been about 2 years since I've left United Way and come into this role. But wow. United Way was such a good training ground for me. Really got to know folks in the nonprofit world and really got a good pulse on the needs in the community. So when this project came up. It was a really natural fit for me, a natural transition. We started the mobile health unit is really falls under Middle Tennessee Medical Center's umbrella and specifically under the mission portion under Tim's budget at MTMC. And so initially we started with a partnership with Murfreesboro City Schools, and we are so fortunate that Paula Barnes and Liz Graves, who was the head nurse at the time with Rutherford County Schools, reached out to us and asked us to partner with the county schools as well. So that's what brings us to this end of the county. We partner with both school systems.
Yeah. So how there are so many different partners, and I want to kind of understand how this whole thing goes together. You work specifically for someone in particular?
Absolutely. I am actually right now an employee of Volunteer Behavioral Healthcare Systems, and funded though under Tim's budget, the mission budget at MTMC. And our collaborative partners, MTMC owns the vehicle, the drivers for the vehicle, which are EMTs, they're fantastic, are a part of St. Thomas Emergency Medicine Services. We contract them. And then St. Thomas Corporate Community Medicine joins us once a month for screenings for adults ages 18 and over. But the primary collaborating partners are Volunteer, the Guidance Center for the Mental Health, and then the Primary Care and Hope Clinic for the Physical Health piece.
Tim, how did all of this start? Pull that mic up a little bit right there and so we can hear you a little better. But this sounds like you dream about something that could work this way, and then to get all the pieces to fall together, sometimes, you know, best laid plans sometimes don't all come together, but this has, and I know it's taken a lot of effort from a lot of folks.
It really has, and it did grow out of this shared vision and a lot of courage and trust in each other to make this come about. So Linda Gilbert, the director of Murfreesboro City Schools, Kathy was a part really of that original visioning group together, along with Lisa Terry, the Primary Care and Hope Clinic, and Kim Rush with the Guidance Center. Really all of us sitting around saying, what are the needs that we're seeing? And how could we really care for the whole child, but what does that really mean? What caring for the whole community? And so it was saying, well, what if we just tried this? And so it kind of gave birth to this effort of the Mobile Health Collaborative, and it really is that. I mean, everybody and each organization representative is really bringing some concrete resources to this effort. And we also share this common commitment that we will care for people even if they struggle with the ability to pay. And so our commitment to charity care in the midst of this is a part of that as well. And as Kathy said, and Kathy's really is the dynamic force and miracle worker behind this effort. Her leadership has been incredible. And the ability then to take a model that has been proven to be effective, and then now have the wonderful opportunity with Rutherford County School System to expand this model, so now we're out in the entire county, I think has just kind of been a story worth telling, and probably a story worth telling across the country. In many ways,
you really have to get every party to buy in, to really say we're all in, and we're going to work together. Otherwise, it just doesn't come together as quickly as this really has.
That's right. You're exactly right, Brian, and that is the key. And fortunately, I think that's one of the exciting things about Rutherford County is it's a county that thinks that way. And it's a county that's willing to set aside some time, our concepts of whose turf is it, and focus to say what's the best interest of our community, and where do we have some synergy and some common commitment, and let's trust each other, and let's try to make this happen. And I don't know if it could have done it as quickly or as well in any community than our community here.
So when this first started, you being at Middle Tennessee Medical Center, what was the reaction to the first initial, I think we've got a jewel here, let's go? I mean, how did that all start?
Well, it begins in our at Middle Tennessee Medical Center with the leadership of Gordon Ferguson, our CEO and president. We develop every year our what we call care of persons affected by poverty and community benefit plan. It's a key strategic element to our annual strategy. And we base that on community needs assessments. We look at what resources do we have and others, and then we set some goals. And one of our goals, we knew that folks needed access to a medical home, and folks needed access to a behavioral health home. So we have this asset, this mobile unit. Who's some key partners? And then about that time, again, you know, some others, Lisa Terry and Kim Rush and Linda Gilbert, they had a similar idea. And it was then being able to sit with the leadership team on a retreat as we're kind of thinking, what are we being called to do? To say, here's an opportunity, what do you think? And everybody's saying, this is worth trying. Mm-hmm. It may cost us, but again, it's about not just doing it because it's cost effective, but it's the right thing to do. And it launches from there.
I think Kathy mentioned it's kind of part of the mission statement of the hospital.
Exactly.
as well. Not only to provide the services that you do, but to pay special attention to those who really need it, the poor and uninsured, the under and uninsured, I guess.
Exactly. And again, you know, this effort couldn't be done without our partners, Gene Lane with the community medicine group there at St. Thomas Health, who we're a part of, along with just tremendous professionals in our drivers who are emergency medical technicians as well as firefighters. So they bring this whole level of professionalism to this effort. Lisa Terry and the tremendous staff at the Primary Care and Hope Clinic, and then Kim Rush and her incredible group, and Kathy, you know, Kathy really nurtures and cultivates those relationships and works to make those the experience that the providers have just really serve and be patient-centered in many ways. So it you know, I could go on forever just singing the praises of everybody, and it's really that effort.
Tim Glover and Kathy Farrell joining us today as we talk about the mobile health clinic and mobile health unit. It's kind of like a clinic on wheels, I guess.
It is a doctor's office on wheels. Absolutely, Brian.
You know, when you first came on, I guess, a couple of years ago to talk about this, and Linda Gilbert was such an integral part in the beginning.
Absolutely.
Of this. You know, she kind of rubs off on people, doesn't she?
She does. Yes, she does.
Talking about, I know every time that I've talked to her, somewhere in the conversation it comes up, it's not about what happens in the classroom from the school bell ringing at the beginning of the day to the end of the day. It's about the whole child. And that seems to be the basis on how this whole thing, not
That's
only the
exactly.
whole child, but the community.
The whole family, yeah. And the whole community. And I think what we've learned in her vision really was, you know, children are in school for a finite period of time, and those children go home, and those homes are located in communities. The schools are located in those communities. It's a safe point of entry. And I think, I'm glad you mentioned her, and I think this translates into the county as well. We generally are parked on school grounds. We have a rotating schedule that I think we've got in front of us, but we're open to anybody in that community, and our goal is to be a bridge back into that building, because sometimes we do serve the absolute most vulnerable, and those folks may be people who school was not the best experience for them. And that's translating into school being not the best experience for their children as well. Or they're transient. They've moved a lot. And sometimes we're their point of entry for the parent to make them feel safe and comfortable with the school and get that parent actively engaged in the school. So the school refers people to us, but we hope to be that bridge to get a parent a little bit more engaged in the school as well.
You know, we hear so much about the school system, and there's been a lot in the news, teacher evaluations and this, that, and the other. But one great thing, I think, is that there was a news story today that Rutherford County Schools, the teachers tested at the highest in the state.
Absolutely.
You know? And when you take such a dynamic in the community that we live in both the city and county school systems, You really have a basis for community. I know we've talked about community schools back in the day when my dad was in school. You had the Las Casas and the Walter Hills. But we're seeing a resurgence of that.
Absolutely.
In the communities with the elementary, middle school, and high schools.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's a really neat transformation. There was some worry about whether that would happen.
Absolutely. It's been neat to see that re-evolve. And for us, you know, what I love to tell folks when we go into the buildings, this is my home. I taught at Eagleville before I did anything else. My children go to school proudly in Rutherford County Schools, and I think it's important to realize that, you know, we're proud of the progress in both school systems, and we're just so fortunate to be a part of that and hope that what we do supports the work of the school systems.
When those kids are affected by, you know, family illness, mom, dad, you know, grandparents, whoever their caretakers are, maybe themselves.
Absolutely.
That affects what happens in the classroom. And trying to go back to the roots of where this started and then go to where you're expanding now, but that was really, I guess, a big reason for this.
And I appreciate you mentioning Dr. Linda Gilbert. I always tease her. So it's really hard to tell you, to say no to you, because she can approach you with a gleam in her eye, and you know she's got an idea.
And she's thought through it very well.
And she has thought through it very well as the sell pitch. And, you know, Linda's, you know, this acknowledgement that it's hard to educate a sick child. It's hard to educate a child who stressors or exposures to stressors in the home or in life. Our child is just really having a hard time to flourish. And so if you can bring multiple holistic resources to that child, and therefore the child's home, and in many ways the entire community, that child is going to be able to excel in education. And with that, have a different platform for life. And that's how that really grew out, is how can we really do that in a concrete way? And again, I'm grateful to Linda's courageous vision there, and it's worked.
We're going to talk about the who has access to the services, the expansion here into the North Rutherford County area, and much more as we continue here from the North Rutherford Y. You're listening to Rutherford Issues today, presented by Gills Ace Hardware on Nissan Drive. Kathy Farrell and Tim Glover, our guest, and we'll continue the conversation after Ron Jordan checks on the local news.
Middle Tennessee Athletics has teamed with Lightning's Locker Room to promote Operation Hat Trick, to donate hats to injured military personnel. For every 3 OHT hats sold, Lightning's will donate an MTSU hat to the local VA hospital. Hats available in Royal Cloth, Camouflage, and Royal Summer with the MT logo and OHT design. At Lightning's Locker Room, off-campus location 910 Ridgely Road, off-broad between Chewy's and Chili's, and at MT Games. Let's support this worthwhile cause.
Attention brides and grooms, getting married?
Have you made all of your wedding plans?
Plan your wedding in one day by attending the Murfreesboro Pink Bridal Show this Sunday, February 19th at Embassy Suites in Murfreesboro.
Meet with wedding professionals who will help you with all of your wedding needs. Caterers, photographers, videographers, florists, cakes, and much more.
Visit MurfreesboroPinkBridalShows.com for more information.
This Sunday, the Murfreesboro Pink Bridal Show
at Embassy Suites in Murfreesboro.
Trying to strengthen the child rape laws. I'm Ron Jordan with local news from WGNS. A new bill introduced to legislators this month removes the statute of limitations on crimes of child rape if the crime was committed after July 1st, 2012. The Department of Corrections estimates a 5% increase in inmate admissions for these offenses as a result of the statute of limitations being removed. Although it's not yet been passed, it's been placed on the calendar for the Judiciary Committee to review on February 21st. News brought to you by Dr. Mark Kester, Chiropractic and Acupuncture Center on Broad across from Chevrolet of Murfreesboro. From headaches, back and neck pain, to nerve pain, joint pain, and arthritis, Dr. Mark Kester has been providing pain relief for over two decades. 895-1253, the number to call to set up your free consultation. A 25-year-old construction worker pulled over for not wearing his seatbelt on Wednesday and ended up going to jail. Police say Eduardo Duenes Gonzalez got out of his truck. They searched the vehicle and found the cocaine, 10 individual baggies of it, found in a wallet in the truck, and through an interpreter, Gonzalez admitted ownership of the drugs to the police. Well, that fake bail bondsman has struck again, now for a third time. This time, the scam involved an Hispanic family that had a loved one behind bars in Coffee County. The victim told officers through a translator they received a call from a man claiming to be with an attorney's office. The suspect then told the family he needed $1,000 to bond their relative out of jail. The family met with the subject at Quicksack on Broad, where they said they gave the man the cash. After giving him the money, they headed to Coffee County to get their loved one out of jail. The sheriff's department told them that the family member could not be bonded out because he was serving a sentence. The family is now out that $1,000. A Smyrna man has been arrested for driving on a revoked license. 34-year-old Dietrich L. Sane pulled over on Greenland Drive because his windows appeared to be tinted too darkly. A driver's license check found the license revoked, and he had 11 previous citations for driving on that revoked license. This is WGNS News.
The savings are big at Gill's Ace Hardware in Smyrna. Here's Jenny Williams.
We pride ourselves on customer service. Our sales associates are here to help you find exactly what you need. We've been a part of the Smyrna community since 1975 and are locally owned and operated. Shop local with your neighbors at Gill's Ace Hardware. We'll help you get in, get help, and get on with your life. Gill's Ace Hardware on Nissan Drive at Jefferson Pike.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
My name is Joe Frank Jernigan. I am running for road superintendent of Rutherford County in the Republican primary. I am a lifelong resident of Rutherford County and am the current assistant road superintendent and have held this job for over 10 years. Early voting starts February 15th through February 29th and election day is March 6, 2012. I would appreciate your vote, paid for by friends of Joe Frank Jernigan.
Smyrna Ready Mix Concrete, 225-9500. The best quality cement and stone products for your driveway, patio, wall, or any concrete project. We'll get it to your job on time. Your successful concrete project starts with Smyrna Ready Mix Concrete.
Count on us to be talking local. Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett.
The North Rutherford County Edition is brought to you by Gill's Ace Hardware in Smyrna.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
We continue from the North Rutherford Y today. The YMCA, they have those new signs out front. The North Rutherford Y Ronald Reagan Family Center. And talking about the mobile health unit today with Kathy Farrell and Tim Glover. Mobile health unit. Okay, so we see the big truck that's out front here. Yes. And it's all over the community. What happens inside that mobile health unit, Kathy?
I'm so glad you asked me. We 2 days a week, we have the Primary Care and Hope Clinic with us, in particular Jenny Streisner, who is their phenomenal pediatric nurse practitioner, and Jenny Beck, who is her amazing medical assistant. And we treat primarily children. Really, Ryan, people that are coming into the district, children that are moving from out of the district in, that may need a physical and immunization to be compliant to enter the building, and for whatever reason they don't have insurance, and we don't need to know why. We will cover that, we'll pay for that, and then we'll spend some time with that family to dig a little bit deeper and connect them with resources, whether it be teen care, whatever we're able to do for those folks, so that the solution is not just in that moment, but it's long term for that family. And hopefully, because oftentimes in that particular situation, we're their first experience, other than walking in the building to register their child for school, we may be the first contact they have before they meet their teacher. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that their experience is the absolute best, so that they feel very welcomed into this community. Now, sometimes it's sick children, sometimes it's sick younger siblings or college students, but for the most part, it's those immunizations and physicals for those children that are uninsured. We also, 2 days a week, actually 3 days a week, have the guidance center on there with us. And we do something really neat. We do telehealth with them. We have a liaison from the guidance center on board with us. But then we have computer equipment so that we can actually do an intake or a med management appointment or a talk therapy session via the equipment, via a computer with a live body that's in either their Smyrna office or the Murfreesboro office. And really, I think both of those services have been phenomenal. But for me, I knew Les, I knew Kim Rush, and think so much of her and the work that she does at the Guidance Center, but knew less about the behavioral health component. And, you know, that's something that people are really oftentimes ashamed to access. So one of the things that I think we've done is chip away at the stigma that surrounds that, because we serve folks that are fully insured, but they just feel more comfortable accessing us on that unit outside of their child's school or outside of another school versus going into a building where they think they might be seen or they're concerned about, you know, just concerned about the whole process. So it's been really neat to see folks come on board. And then because we don't have a live person, it's over the computer. Children are so comfortable, you know, with the technology piece that you almost see a parent, you know, you can almost hear their sigh of relief because they feel another layer of sort of non-judgment, I guess is the best way to put it.
Technology has really just changed everything, you know.
Absolutely.
We were talking about we had a little computer situation at the station a minute ago, and here I am on the iPad working with Rafferty back at the station to make that happen. But just the fact that you have this technology available for you know, behavioral health consultations.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just a really neat thing. In terms of kids that go that need the services,
yes.
What the behavioral health side?
Yes.
From what to what? I mean, kind of give us some examples.
You know, we'll have children who maybe the parent in partnership with the school thinks that there's an ADHD or ADD diagnosis, or you know, there is a traumatic event at home. Maybe it's a divorce. Maybe, you know, nowadays it's multiple deployment. For somebody that's in the armed forces, that's in their family. Maybe there's been a death in the family, you know, just numerous things, you know. But Brian, what struck me, and I'm so proud to be a part of this group of folks, because we do send home paperwork with children in both school districts at the beginning of the year, and oftentimes parents will see certain signs with their child and may not realize, maybe they're afraid to call 911, maybe they're afraid to go to the ER, maybe they're not sure of what to do. But I've had more than one phone call from a parent because my number is on this paperwork. You know, I think my daughter has cut herself, or I have found this plan for suicide in my child's backpack. What do I do? And to be able to navigate a family, I have learned so much, and there are so many amazing resources in this community. You know, I think for all of us, don't ever underestimate what one piece of paper or one conversation can mean to a family in that moment or in the future.
The behavioral health side, Tim, I would think, is, Kathy mentioned, a stigma to that. And whatever you can do to bridge that, to get that person or that family or that child in front of someone who can help, you know, if it's a mobile health unit on wheels, then that's great. Then that's how it should be used.
You got it. And that is, you got it. That is the key, Brian. And whenever we do a community needs assessment in our community, we know that at least within the top three, and typically it's number one need in the health safety net of our community, is services for behavioral and mental health. I mean, it's just the kind of number one need. And even if folks have adequate insurance, often when it comes to behavioral health, that's where maybe they become more underinsured as well. And I think the thing that was just eye-opening for us is when we began this effort together, and we started offering through the partnership with the Guidance Center this aspect of service, I think we were just shocked by how much need there was. I mean, within just a few couple of months, 800 or so self-referrals.
Wow.
And you just think about the suffering that's occurring in silence within that person or that home or family. And now people have hope. Now people have someone who cares, and they're getting solutions that are literally transforming their lives. It's just hard not to just get a smile.
Sure.
About just knowing the impact that's occurring, again, because all of these different entities are coming together to make a difference in the life of a child.
So that, going back to the services, Kathy, it's more than the behavioral health side, the immunizations. Are we talking coughs and colds?
Absolutely.
And stomach viruses and different things like that too?
Absolutely. You know, we definitely do sick visits. Because we have a pediatric practitioner, from the adult perspective, it's out of her scope to do a lot. You know, with the adults, we're able to do some simple sinus infections. We've treated some teachers because it's just easier for them. You know, with, you mentioned the different evaluations now and the pressure.
Sure.
For testing, you know, teachers don't want to miss that instruction time either. You don't want to pull a child out. You don't want them to miss. Teacher doesn't want to miss either. So because we're on some school campuses, we have served some teachers. You know, one of the neatest things that we've done with a couple of schools are sports physicals, because, you know, for some folks, maybe they're not insured for whatever reason, to pay $30, you know, for a sports physical so their child can be on the athletic field is out of reach for them. So we're happy to provide that service and take care of those kids. So, you know, pretty much the gamut in terms of health. And then for the adults, you know, we have a lot of adults that'll come on board and they're not, you know, in the course of treating their child, or they'll see us and they'll come on board, and we're able to refer them back into two places, back into the Primary Care and Hope Clinic, and I'll let Tim speak to it, but to the St. Louis Clinic as well, MTMC's clinic. And in fact, their first two patients came from some folks that we encountered in Laverne on
Oh,
the
wow.
mobile unit that were new to the area and were very fragile in terms of healthcare. Both, you know, I think what I've learned and what people forget, Brian, is that a lot of times you'll have two very hardworking folks that are working, but maybe their employer doesn't offer benefits, or maybe they're covered but their children aren't, and it's too expensive for them to pay for those benefits for their family. So, you know, we will take care of absolutely anybody that walks through our door for any reason, whether we treat them on the unit or we refer them elsewhere.
We'll talk about if there is a referral for the adults. Primary Care and Hope Clinic is one, but the other I don't know that I know much about.
Sometime back in November, MTMC, we launched at the old campus site the St. Louis Clinic, and it is a clinic that whose mission is particularly for insured and the underinsured in that area. We had always wanted some health ministry presence back at the old campus in that area. But also as we continued to do community needs assessment, as we were getting feedback and data from Kathy's work in the mobile health unit, as we were just looking at some of the demographics, we knew that a key area of need was in that 37130 zip code. And so we said, well, what's our mission call us to do? What is needed there? Well, what's really needed is the emergency room is not the best medical care home. Emergency rooms are great to save your life, but they're not the greatest place if you want this ongoing continuum of care across your health journey and or to manage chronic disease, or if you just have an urgent need or a walk-in need. And so that gave vision to the St. Louis Clinic. It's named after the foundress of the Daughters of Charity who sponsors our hospital, St. Louis de Marillac, and so it's named the St. Louis Clinic. So we're really fortunate because now it has, in addition to the tremendous work that the Primary Care and Hope Clinic does, we just stand alongside of them as another kind of collaborative partner for the vulnerable. And as Kathy said, now it gives an additional place to refer folks to. And I'd probably ought to say, too, as I say this, too, is the Rutherford County Health Department is
Absolutely.
Another just key partner
Absolutely.
In this effort as well. So I'd be mistaken if I did not speak highly of their work and their support in this, too. And we just most recently, just this week, launched our OBGYN clinic that particularly targets the uninsured and underinsured and folks that aren't attached who need prenatal and perinatal care. And so we're really excited. Again, it's just this larger collaboration that just keeps growing.
So that's at the Bell Street area,
I guess?
At the
Bell Street building,
okay.
Yeah. At the Bell Street building on the old campus.
Well, before our time gets away, we've got about three or four more minutes. I want to make sure that we talk about where we see the mobile health unit, because it's all over the community and there is a schedule, which you have given me a schedule here.
I
but it could be Smyrna Middle School. I know we want to talk about the expansion here. I see Laverne Middle School
yes.
on here as well, so that's
yes.
really neat.
We are, you know, we're thrilled to be able, I wish that I had multiple units and we could get to more places. We did a lot of research through the hospital and through the school systems, just community data to really pinpoint where could we, A, where the greatest need was, but B, where were we sort of in the heart of a lot of schools or maybe a large area of need. And so that's how these locations were chosen. When we're out on the north end of the county, we're at Smyrna Middle School, which is a fantastic location for us. They have been, let me just say, both school systems, it started with the city,
sure.
But certainly to the county as well. They are phenomenal partners and excellent hosts because we use their building as well. You know, we're on that unit, we do the care on the unit, but we use, you know, if we need to do certain testing, the restrooms are on the inside of the building, and they're gracious enough to allow us to use that. We partner with the SROs for safety protocol and whatnot, and we've been a part of a couple of lockdowns, you know, throughout this journey. So I can't say enough about everybody from the top
sure.
down to the janitorial staff in every single building and everybody in between. But we're at Smyrna Middle and Laverne Middle every other Tuesday. We alternate. We're at John Pittard and Bradley in Murfreesboro, and then we are thrilled to be out in Eagleville. We've been at the school. They've been a great partner, but there's a clinic out there as well that is actually their nurse practitioner is funded through the St. Thomas Healthcare System, and so that's been a great location for us to bring the behavioral health care services to folks who live 15 miles away, you know, from the nearest point of access. So that's a tremendous barrier for some folks, just the cost of gas.
Sure.
To get in to see a provider. So this schedule is on both school websites. It's on the Rutherford County School website. There's a link. It's on the Murfreesboro City School website. It's also on MTMC's website. There's an icon, and you can click, get the link. We're going to update it. It goes through the end of March. We're going to update it for April and in the summer. And, Brian, sometimes we'll serve 50 children in a day in the summer with those immunization and physical really blitzes. And one of the things that we've tried to do with the additional seventh grade immunization requirements, we will be at every single middle school in Rutherford County, in addition to more Murfreesboro City schools with those sixth graders that are transitioning to seventh, because we really, our goal, if at all possible, is that when school starts, every seventh grader is properly immunized and people don't miss that instruction time and parents don't panic at the last minute.
Sure.
So.
Well, this is all great. A phone number for someone who may not have internet access, where can we
get that? Please, and it's, you feel free to call it, 631-7739 is my cell phone.
So, oh, wow.
Yes.
The direct connection.
The direct connection.
Brian, thank you so much.
It's been great. Absolutely. Tim, good to meet you. And Kathy, always good to see you as
thank
well.
Thank you, Brian.
Kathy Farrell, with the coordinator of the mobile health unit, and Tim Glover from Middle Tennessee Medical Center. Again, check out mtmc.org, the school websites, to find out a lot more information. That's going to do it for our time here now. Stay tuned. All Sports Talk is coming up at 4 o'clock, and then I'll see you along with John Dinkins at about 5:45, as we will be broadcasting live from Oakland High School. The District 7 AAA basketball tournament gets underway tonight. That's when we'll see you next. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a good afternoon.